Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel. This is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels, and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. I really hope you enjoyed last week's interview with comedian and sometimes actor John Reap. Talk about a guy who's just so funny, winning Last Comic Standing, his stories about Doug Benson, stories about being in Harold and Kumar, and just, again, an overall hilarious guy. And I think I made him laugh three times. And that was very, very special. But before we talk about the sequel that he was in, Harold and Kumar Escape Guantanamo Bay, I have to introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I really always love this movie. I love this whole trilogy of films. I hope they do another one. And when we got John last year, I was like, dude, this would be really cool to do a movie that I've seen so many times. So it was a treat taking notes about it.
Well, I think this is gonna be one of those movies where we heavily disagree. I was not a fan of this movie. There definitely were a handful of funny parts. It was just, I had never seen the other ones. I just didn't like it. I'll tell you why. The two main stars are extremely unlikable characters. I feel like they don't fit the role at what they're trying to do. You know, I mean, I get the Buddy Stoner flick. They don't fit the look. They don't fit the role. They don't fit the look of dating hot girls and trying to get laid and smoking all. It just doesn't fit. And to me, they have the wrong two people doing the role.
Oh, that hurts. No, I think they fit for their. I'm not saying you have to watch the first one to get the second one, but I love these movies. We'll have to figure out what handful of scenes. Hopefully, like the hand of a giant.
Well, I'll tell you right now. The funny scenes basically are when the cameos come in. So the cameos to me steal the movie because I was not a fan of the main characters. Okay.
Oh.
So yeah. And
you're talking about the main characters beyond Harold and Kumar?
No. I'm talking about Harold and Kumar. I think they could have found two better stoner, guys. It just doesn't fit. You know, I mean, you know, you have like a Val Kilmer what's that movie?
Top Secret
or Real Genius, you know, or you have like, you know, again, I just feel like in Van Wilder, like that was great. And then you have Taj, like it doesn't fit. It's just stupid. Anyway, I also think this might be one of the most offensive movies I have ever seen.
Oh, don't say that. You wanted me to watch the movie with Peter Sellers, pretend to be an Asian guy, and that's okay. But this? No, this movie, what I love about this movie, I wrote it multiple times. They make fun of everyone.
They do. Oh, they do. But they dig deep. I mean, there's definitely a lot of this movie came out today. It would be a problem, you know, unfortunately. You know, again, I laughed at the funny scene, at the scenes, but it is quite offensive, you know, so we'll get to those.
And those are the laughter when you're like, oh my God, can't believe they just said that.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So let's get right into it. So the movie starts, Louis Armstrong opening, my wife's favorite song, and a quick title sequence. The script lettering almost makes you feel like you're watching a love story, which kind of you are, because at the end of the first movie, Hal finally makes the move on a very attractive girl that lives in his apartment.
That girl is way out of his league. Okay, so put both of them. The two girls that these guys are going after, there's no way. There's no way. So that's the first problem right there.
It's a movie.
I get it. But, you know, I mean, this, you know, it's not like it's like an action movie where like, oh, that can never happen. This is like, they could have made this where at least they could look decent. Like, these guys look like total dorks. All right, go ahead. You know, now it's getting me angry.
Well, don't get angry. So no, I say, well, I like these guys because I think it's different, because these movies never have people of this, to be honest, like ethnicity, like these movies never have that. It's always like the Dazed and Confused stoner white guys. So it's cool to see different people. And I love the element that it brings in, because like their parents, their culture, there's just so many funny things that go with that. So it's great to have different representation in Hollywood.
I get it. And you know what it is? I think also is they forced a lot of jokes. I mean, within 3 minutes, there's a poop joke, you know, and there's almost, is there a masturbation joke right away? Or
oh, I'm sure. Oh, no, I mean, looking at his pubes. He says nice. Yeah, pubes.
Okay. All right. I mean, just, I just feel like, especially his role, I feel like at least John Cho, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like at least he played his part a little better. I think Kumar which one's Kumar? Yeah, Kumar. I feel like Kumar. He forced his role of just being a sexaholic, weed, like just degenerate. Like he just forced it too much. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I know. I really like him. You know, it's funny. As soon as they filmed this, as soon as they finished this movie, he taught a semester at University of Penn. He's super smart. He worked for Obama.
I know that. It's like, so like, I'm surprised that they even allowed that to happen after he made a movie like this. They figured they would look in his background and like, all right, you know, listen, you made such a horrible, you know, like offensive movie, you know, show my team in politics, you know, and he did good there. I mean, you know, he's super smart. So
yeah, maybe Obama was a fan. Maybe he was a big fan of this movie. That's how he got the job. He didn't even know him from anything else, but it was just this movie. But so the thing I love about this kind of sequel, I love when there's no gap and really nothing changes. All the title characters are all the same. It's just like the next morning, like they just got back from West White Castle. He references it. He's pooping out because they both ate 30 burgers and 4 large fries, which I don't think is that big of a feat.
It's not. And I mean, do you ever dream in a shower?
Sometimes I do daydream a lot. So yeah, sometimes I do.
In the shower?
In the shower.
How long are your showers?
So when you have, have 2 kids, sometimes when you take a shower, that's like a little vacation. You're like 5-10 minutes, you know, disappear for a little bit.
I guess.
You're all about saving that water, man. You turn the clock on as soon as the kids go in.
No, I guess. Oh, okay. Let me ask you this. Are they the same characters from the first movie? The girls,
everyone. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone. Okay. All right. Well, I knew Neil Patrick Harris was in the first one. So, yes. I mean, you know, but okay. All right.
Yeah, no, everybody's the same. The girls knew, like, Kumar's love interest, Vanessa. She's new to the movie. She wasn't in that, but she was in a bunch of stuff, like, right around that time. She was on, like, One Tree Hill, and then she went on to be, like, in a bunch of different movies.
But Harold's girlfriend was in the first movie.
She was, yeah, the girl that lived... Well, they weren't even, okay. They're not even girlfriend. They talked for the first time at the end of the movie. First time. So that's what, it's kind of wild that Kumar is the one that eggs him on to do things that are probably things he shouldn't do. But the fact that he tells him, let's go to Amsterdam, man. Let's go follow her.
After talking to her once.
Yes. And they kissed in the elevator. That was it.
Now, was he a stoner in the first movie too, Harold? Because he seemed very straight-laced.
He's like a corporate stoner. He was the guy that pretends not to be a stoner, just has a little bit when to unwind, but.
Okay. All right.
You got to be with that guy's roommate. You almost have to smoke. I don't know how you could not avoid it. How insane that he is, no matter what.
If you want to talk about like a modern day odd couple, that's them. Without a doubt. I mean, it really is. Like, I mean, this could have been called the odd couple because, I mean, like, you couldn't find 2 different personalities for this role, you know?
I love the montage of him getting packed and it goes from him just like throwing clothes in a bin. And then he has a shoe that has some oily substance come out. It looks like motor oil. I don't know what that could have been. And then we even get him, you know, quickly beating his meat before he gets on the airplane.
He beats his meat a lot in this movie.
Yes.
And, you know, and then you see Harold like all neat, you know, like again, the odd couple, like he's
Bill Sunger. Yeah. Oscar would have had a substance in his shoe.
Without a doubt.
I don't know if I could see Jack Klugman jerking off.
Well, I mean, he was a little old. I mean, I think at a certain age, you stop doing that.
Really?
Well, if you don't have pills to help you, you'll be there forever.
Just like degrading yourself. Come on, get up, you piece. Oh, man. Yeah, so how about... Again, the line when it comes, because this came out 7 years after 9/11, but everything was still going on. So you have a lot of those jokes towards, you know, Kumar being Middle Eastern. But how about him Even calling the light-skinned black guy when he says, I'm blacker than you are, calls him, you Matthew Perry-looking bitch.
Hey, it was funny the first line when he did say, you know, like, you're stereotype or racist, and he goes, I'm black. You know, like, but again, I feel like just his attitude is just like, he's someone that should get punched a lot in this movie. Just the way he is. And he doesn't. You know, I don't know. I think I like Harold better than Kumar.
Okay. No, I think they're both, like you said, I didn't think about it like that, but they are the modern day odd couple when you think in the sense of like these movies, how completely opposite they are. Cause he is Felix Unger. He's super neat. Has to be like on a schedule. Everything has to be perfect.
He's worried about everything, and Kumar just really is carefree about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one thing I do like about him, he's always looking to have fun. No matter where he is, it's like there's no responsibility whatsoever in his head.
And in the first movie, well, he references it a couple times in this movie, but he's talking about, like, why are you so worried about going to Amsterdam? I'm supposed to have a med school interview in 10 minutes. In the first movie, he like blows off like all these med school interviews. One is with God, what's his name? The older guy just passed away like a year ago. He was on Modern Family. He played the grandpa. I can't think of his name.
Oh, he played the father. The improv. He does all those improv movies.
Best in Show. Fred Willard in the first movie plays like the enrollment guy for some med school, and Kumar just blows the interview when he says he likes him. He just starts making up all this shit just to get out of it. Because like you said, he just wants to go party. That's all he wants to do no matter what.
So was there a point in the first movie where he was like straight laced and then all of a sudden he just slipped and started doing, because like obviously in this movie they showed the flashback of like how he started. So, but was he like that at all in the first movie, or he was straight up? Okay. So he was
full on. But then perfect segue to the wrinkle in this movie is Kumar in the first movie didn't have a love interest. His love interest was the White Castle. Like that's all he cared about at all. Well, both of them, that's all that mattered to them. But in this one, we see his ex, Vanessa, who again, super smoke show. She was in, like I said, One Tree Hill, but she was in the movie Fired Up, which pretty funny comedy if people haven't seen it.
What, a cheerleader movie?
But no, it's about these two football players that join cheerleading just to be with the chicks. Good movie. Check it out. 2009 it came out.
Guy that plays, was it the guy that plays in Dumb and Dumber? Yep. Or like the, okay, I know, okay. I think I did
the guy from Not Another Teen Movie. Plays the same role in everything. Yes. Even on, I think he's on like NCIS or one of those shows. Plays the same guy.
Same role.
Same guy.
Well, some of those actors just have that look, you know? I mean, really.
And speaking of looks, so the guy that plays Colton, doesn't he look like, he looks like Topher Grace. And I feel like I've seen this guy in other things, but he plays the perfect douchebag.
You know what? This movie a little bit reminded me of The Wedding Singer. You know, you had like the guy pretending to be all good and everything else, the trying to stop the wedding. But he's a real douche in real life. Like, you know, he kind of played the same role as that guy. You know, I believe, you know, 100%. He played it perfectly. And honestly, I was tricked. I thought he was a cool guy the whole movie. I'm like, why is Kumar giving him such a hard time? You know, he was cool the whole movie.
And then you got M. Night Shyamalan. You were like, what?
Well, the cameos in this movie are great.
So. Oh, the cameos are great, and we'll get to the hero of this movie. Honestly, I love him in everything, Rob Corddry, but him in this movie is so insane.
Well, he's the most offensive part of the whole movie. Although I think coming up, one I wrote the line down was, I mean, it did make me laugh, but so terrible.
What is it on the airplane?
I don't remember. About the eyes? No. When they were interrogated?
Yeah, no, that's right after that. So let's get to the airport. So they get on the airplane and you have the old white woman who is just
staring as soon as he got on. Like, so typical.
I love that. That they're having a normal conversation. Well, I don't know. Kumar's conversations are never normal. They're just talking about like getting high in Amsterdam, and just the way when he turns and looks and it switches to like him looking like a terrorist and he's doing like the airplane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, again, that was pretty funny. That was good.
And her face is just, oh my God. Her face just like the whole time is in such fear of these two men. And then the fact that, okay, so they're watching this movie together, which I looked up what the movie was. Not Hope Floats, but some romantic movie from the late 90s. And Harold goes into the bathroom. Kumar, which like Harold says to him, they're going to Amsterdam, but he has to get high. And what is he smoking out of?
He made that. Was it a gun? Is that a water gun? It looked like, or what was it like?
Well, it looked like a penis pump. It looked like Austin.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Okay. Yeah. It probably was. I mean, it probably was. But even before that, I think it might have been the first of, no, I think it's the second of many boners he gets in the whole movie. Because he says it out loud all the time. You know, boner achieved or whatever. Like,
he got a boner because Harold's watching very romantic in the scene. And when he takes the earbuds out, he's like, man, this chick on the movie's getting me a boner.
I mean, he says that throughout the whole movie. So, I mean, yeah. He must be very sensitive.
He is playing. It's really funny. He's very sensitive. No, he is like from, like, he's almost channeling Van Wilder-ish from working with Ryan Reynolds, because it is like he's playing a caricature of that kind of role.
Correct.
But no, he's just like him and Rob Corddry.
I think that's why I have a problem, because it doesn't fit him the way he looks. Like, you know, again, Ryan Reynolds, everything that Kumar says in this movie, Ryan Reynolds would nail it. Like, it would just be funny. To me, it just doesn't fit. Like, I just don't, like, the look of these guys don't fit the roles they're playing in my mind. And I think that's where I have a hard time with it.
Well, I think, and again, this is just with Hollywood, we've never seen two people like this in these roles. So it's so hard to, for like the first time you see anyone in a role like that, you know, like, there was a Chinese American that was president, we'd be like, that doesn't really fit because it's never happened before. But these guys hopefully would change it. I don't think there's been movies.
Maybe
since.
If I saw the first movie and I, you know, it worked my way into it, and then so this one, I could see where it kind of developed from. Maybe that would have helped. But yeah,
I must suggest you should watch the first one. It is like, it's really good cameos in that one too. Jamie Kennedy has a really funny cameo in the movie. He's in it for 15 seconds, and it's really funny. And Christopher Maloney's.
So Jamie Kennedy's funny?
It's funny.
I mean, he's in a movie that we ranked as one of the worst movies we've ever seen. So, you know, that's not selling the first movie to me. I mean, of all the cameos that you can bring up, you bring up Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Now I'm dying to see the movie.
Jamie Kennedy, if you're listening, we love you.
Oh, of course he's listening. What else is he doing?
Oh, my God. Now he just turned it off. Now he's not hearing any of this. Jamie, come back. Okay. So then I love when, so they're smoking in the bathroom. It looks like Austin Powers' penis pump. And Harold gets so pissed. So he's like, whatever. But he doesn't close the bathroom door. So this already frightened white woman, again, I would be frightened anyway, no matter what color the person was, if I look back and I saw anybody with a lighter in the bathroom.
Oh, of course.
But the fact that she sees it and she gets like, she like screams, it's a bomb. And I love this is like,
it's like a Naked Gun kind of scene.
Oh yeah. I love movies like this, like the scary movies, Airplane-ish. But the fact that he's like, no, it's a bong. And it's like, oh my God, he said bong.
See, again, this is one of the scenes I did laugh at that. Cause that, again, that's a total Naked Gun move. And it was, I thought they were going to have another joke of seeing a guy come out and then another guy come out. So I thought like a Mile High kind of joke, just the way the movie is, you know, but it didn't go there. But yeah, this scene was very funny. I did laugh.
Did you laugh? I laughed the hardest when the bong broke open and the one guy just stared at it for a second. And he's like, poison gas. I don't know why. That was like the funniest part to me. I love movies that have these characters that, like, this movie has some great ADR jokes that were not during the filming. But that one to me was like, I love lines like that in movies when it's somebody you don't even know who they are, if they were ever in anything else, and they like nailed this line perfectly. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, no, this whole scene was pretty funny.
And then now they have to go back to the U.S. and here it is, Secretary Fox. Dude, his line when he talks to Roger Bart, who plays Dr. Beecher, when he says,
"I assume Secretary Whitmore's coming."
"Negative. He's on an ice fishing trip in Glacier Bay. I'm in charge while he's gone."
"Well, shouldn't he be alerted? Isn't this issue of more importance than an ice fishing trip?"
"Who are you again?"
"Dr. John Beecher, vice chairman of the NSA.
"Yeah, well, listen, Dr. Dipshit. You've obviously never been ice fishing before."
"No, I haven't."
"Well, it's fucking exhilarating. The last thing anyone would want while fishing for pike is to be interrupted. Now back off and let me do my job."
He crushes this movie. I mean, every scene he was in, he was the best part of the movie. I mean, all the cameos were great, but his role, just, he was such a douche. And, you know, like, he everything he said was just one thing after another. Like, there really wasn't, with all his lines, I don't think there was any pause of unfunniness.
I must say, and this is, I don't know if people are agree or not, but Rob Corddry's movies, when he's in them, he's always funny. Like, there's some comedy actors that I see them in a movie and I'm like, oh, that was disappointing. Dude, I've seen some shitty movies with Rob Corddry and he steals the show.
You know, he's one of those guys that would never be able to carry a movie himself, but as a side character, he's just amazing. I mean, he nails it. He's just that funny, you know? No, he's
awesome.
I got
a movie that you have to watch about him and in like this underground, like secret agency, like almost like, I guess sort of like the CIA. And in the movie, all the people, there's big names in it. They're all trying to take each other out. But he is like the main guy in a movie. He's kind of like this. He's crazy.
What's it called?
He's a star. I can't think of it. I'll find it and I'll send it to you later. But no, he's so funny. But here's your line that he says.
"What's up with the guy with the weird eyes? He handicapped or something?"
"We believe he's of Korean descent."
"My God. North Korea and Al-Qaeda working together. This is bigger than I thought."
I mean, if that's not offensive, I mean, like, because I think that was the first offensive, I mean, outside of racial profiling, which, again, that was, I could see that more common in a movie, but that line is so bad. And I was laughing. I'm like, are you kidding me? They went there. Like, it was awesome.
It was so funny. And then even when he goes in there, he's like, "We're on to you guys." And like, you see them finally getting like this, whoa, this is something more serious. Kind of like, you know, My Cousin Vinny, like they're thinking they no big deal. Yeah. You know, I smoked a bong in an airplane.
Right. Right.
No,
but back to that line, you know, they make jokes like that, but that line, I've never heard it in that way. Like they make fun of, you know, Asians all the time or, you know, any other nationality. But that line was very creative, like the weird eyes. I was dying. I was good. So I just,
and the fact that in this movie he's so confused by other races and languages.
Well, I mean, you know, we do meet other people in, I guess, on the force with them that are complete idiots. So I'm not surprised that he's, you know, confused. Because, I mean, later on when the guy, what's his name from The Office?
Ed Helms. This is like before he was in the, I think he might have just landed The Office.
The beginning.
I don't know, probably a couple of years on The Office. Yeah.
But even then, like, he's still like a nobody. But like his scene shows what kind of moron they are. So like, I think the whole force is, they're just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then we, Guantanamo Bay. First time I think I've ever heard the words cock meat sandwich.
Okay. What's the name of the movie?
Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Okay. They're there for 5 minutes. they literally escape within 5 minutes of being there. And that's the name of the movie. Like I thought they're going to be in prison for a while. Like, you know, the whole movie, the name of the movie is Escape. they're literally escaped within 5 minutes of being there. And then you don't hear, I mean, you hear about it, but like it's done. Like, I think the title is kind of misleading.
It is. It's funny when I think of escape movies, the first, well, I guess Escape from New York and LA, but I think of Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Larry Hankin, Clint Eastwood. Yep. Takes the whole movie for them to leave. Great escape. Of course. It's so great. The whole movie, they're trying to
escape. Escape plan, same thing. Like, so, like, I mean, that's the title of the movie. I really thought it was going to be like a prison movie with these guys, and that probably would have been funny, but this lasted literally 5 minutes, and they were gone.
Maybe that was the joke of it, that they're barely there.
I don't know. They could have came up with a better title, but all right. But yes, cock meat. I've never heard of that before. And I laugh when the other guys, they're in the other one, in the other cell, and they said, "Oh, you got Big Jim," or what was the guy's name? Was it Big Jim?
Big Bob.
Oh, Big Bob. And they're like, "Oh, just wait for your car or something." And I mean, based on the name of it, I wasn't sure they were going there. I thought it was something else. Like I wasn't expecting that until I saw the guys in the yellow cell. And yeah, wow, that was a little disturbing.
But I thought it was really funny when they're like, "Oh, you guys get Big Bob," and they're like so into it, and they like sit down, almost like clap their hand, like wipe their hands, like they're getting ready to go to work. That was so funny. And then Big Bob, this guy, I'm like, I had to look him up because I'm like, this guy just looks so familiar. He's in a ton. He was like Grandma's Boy, 21 Jump Street. He's got to be recurring. I've only seen Deadpool 1, but he's in Deadpool 1 and 2.
Okay.
But his IMDb says he was a wrestler, but he was younger because he reminded me of One Man Gang. But he doesn't even list himself as an actor. It says he's a plumber. If you look at his bio on IMDb, really? He's a plumber.
That's awesome. Yeah. If he's a plumber, I'd be nervous have him come to my house and, you know, have plumber's crack under the sink with that big guy, because he's huge.
Not even that. How does he fit under the sink? Does he have to look under it? His head's so big. He does look like he's a wrestler. Like he's almost like R.A. Mihailov. He has that huge like body and that.
He's like, it's like Bam Bam Bigelow. Like I saw him exactly. As. Yeah. Oh, I agree. But yeah, this scene was pretty fun. You know, I thought this would have been a running gag of like after they almost, you know, gave him the cock meat sandwich, that they would have this, like one of them would have made fun of the other. Like, you really were going to do it, weren't you? Like, you're like almost like busting the other guy's, you know, balls, you know, for like almost doing it. Cause they were pretty close.
That is a joke from American Pie 2. That whole line that you just said when he's like, "You were going to really kiss me. You liked it."
Yeah. But that's funny. See, that would have been funny. I could see Kumar like saying that to Harold and just like busting his balls, you know, like, you know, but yeah, but that was, but they got pretty close. I mean, that was like, like, were they supposed to do it at the same time? Is that what it,
I guess if you're on each side that you're the bread.
Well, if there's any cock meat sandwich experts, please call in.
Well, maybe the ladies later in the movie at the whorehouse would know. But
so, those ladies seem like they know a lot, so they might.
So then the escape's funny as hell to me too, because those two guys run, Harold and Kumar run. The one guy goes over. He uses like he like rips that post out of the ground, which I don't think they would have that. But he catapults up. He tries to climb over, gets electrocuted, and the fact that they use his body to go over. God,
that's another Naked Gun joke. Yeah, like that's totally the only thing is, I think it would Naked Gun if, as they're climbing over, like the body would fart or something. You know, like that was as they're like leaning on it. You know,
or say like thank you, and the guy's still alive. Don't mention it. But yeah, that whole part was funny, and then the fact that they're going back to America, they see these guys that are going from Guantanamo Bay, like going over. And the fact that Kumar is giving him advice, and his one advice is, when you get to the States, make sure you get yourself a TiVo, which again, it's like some movies when they put those lines in there, they're like, oh, whatever. In 30 years, people will know what that is.
Right.
I don't think people really know. People use the word TiVo now, but it's not even, I don't
think. Not even. I don't think anyone does. Yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, we missed a Cordry, I think it was Cordry line when there was interrogation. He says, "Zip it, Hello Kitty."
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But so, yeah, oh, yeah, I mean, no,
but even before that, he says, "We have their names, Harold Lee, He's of, I think, oh no, when he says about his eyes, he says, I think he's from Korean descent.
Oh, yeah. He goes, yes, he goes, he's Korean or something.
Yeah. And then he goes, North Korea and Al Qaeda working together. He's getting like so jacked up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So here's a really funny take on a scene in a movie. You're so used to when you see like 80s movies, boobs everywhere. I think this is the first movie that there was a no pants party. And I thought that whole scene was funny too.
It was. I mean, there was one thing I didn't understand.
Yeah.
When he stands up, why does he have like a forest down there? Like, and he said, look at Osama bin Laden's beard. like I didn't understand that joke. Like, I mean, I get it, you know, for like just shock value, but like, I don't know. He's surrounded by beautiful women. Wouldn't he be like, you know, manscape a little bit?
Yeah, wouldn't they? And then this is one of my favorite ADR lines, because one girl goes, ew, and then another girl goes, I love crabs. But yeah, why wouldn't he trim? He has all these ladies, for nothing. He has a lot of trim around, so why wouldn't he trim? There was no other guys at that party.
Nothing. Well, okay, so is he in the first movie?
No.
Okay, so he's they don't explain why he has all this money and everything? Like, anything about this guy? Nothing. Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Just a buddy at
a buddy that's a billionaire who has thousands of hot women walking around with no clothes on. There's no explanation at all. I mean, it would have been funnier if he was in the first movie and maybe he was, you know, a poor guy, and then all of a sudden, somehow he made it big here, you know, or something. There's nothing to explain anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess because it's like so brief. But the fact that there was no other guys at the party, it was just all these girls walking around, no pants on, and you saw,
and they're
like,
smoke, and they're all good looking.
Yeah,
like it doesn't, like, it really, that whole scene did not make any sense whatsoever, you know. But yeah,
but that was all. I was for it.
No, nothing wrong with it. I mean, no, but again, little degrading for women. You know, he's the only guy there, and all these women have to have no clothes on or no pants on.
Hey, you know, follow the rules.
He did, and he made them pull their pants down.
So before we get to the end part of the scene, then we cut back to the, just again, Cordry, just insane. When he grabs the photo of the little white girl when he's talking to Dr. Beecher, and Dr. Beecher goes, I looked at the records, they look clean. Maybe a couple parking tickets, that's it. And he goes, you see this photo of this little girl? And he's like, yeah, she's cute, right? Yeah, she's America. He's like, do you want her to get raped and murdered? And then he's like, no, God, no. He's like, are you sure? Are you sure? And the fact that you think this scene's over, and he turns and whips it at the wall.
And it's the lady's picture that's standing right there.
And he goes, you have a beautiful child. And she looks mortified.
Well, he has a habit of whipping things against the wall, because he does that a few times throughout the movie. Like, he definitely has anger issues.
I don't know how he has that job.
Yeah, I would like to know why he's always angry. Maybe a Korean took his job. Ooh. Or something, or took his wife, because I don't think he's married, and that's why he's so angry to get these guys.
And he just like sees that guy
everywhere.
Who's their neighbor who borrowed the lawnmower and then started up on the wife. but no, just the fact that, I don't know, it's just so, how can you bring it like that? Like, when all of your scenes are screaming, are they like, okay, in 3, 2, 1, rolling? Is he already yelling while they're doing that? Because he is like, it's insane.
Well, you know, I saw a clip from Wolf of Wall Street of Leonardo DiCaprio. Did you ever see this clip? He's literally talking like just normal to like, and then all of a sudden he goes action and he goes right into character. Like, there was no hesitation. Like, I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch. I mean, that's why he's such a good actor. So I bet you, like, you know, someone like Cordry, like, he dives right into that role that, like, the minute they go, he's going. Like, he's yelling and he's ready to go, you know? Not that I'm putting him on the same level as Leonardo.
Okay. Okay. I was saying, if somebody clipped this right now and they were like, hey, Rob, you got to hear what these two sequel podcast guys, man. The Good, the Bad, and the Sequel at Sequels Only on Twitter and Facebook. Then they were like, whoa, Cordry, you and DiCaprio. But no, it has to be a secret art, you know, like for anyone to do that.
Absolutely.
Get into that like in a second. But anyway, so
well, I wonder if he improved any of those lines.
Oh, I would think he's a big improv guy.
Yeah, right. So I mean, a lot of those like insults, I bet you he's just popped up. I mean, like, imagine like working on the set with him, like being any of the actors, like how do you keep a straight face? Like, you know, not knowing what's going to come out and him sputing these lines out. Like, it's hysterical. Like, I don't know how that's another art to be able to hold it in and watch another actor go. Cause I mean, I would be laughing every 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's from the same era of like UCB as like Jason Mantzoukas, Paul Scheer, all those guys. I think one of them were actually on Rob's team in New York, but
I believe that.
Insane.
Yeah.
What he can do. So then I love that we got boobs briefly in the next scene when the girl gets out of the hot tub. He goes, put that shit back on. What kind of porn do you think this is? I love that. Oh, my God. Oh, no. And the other ADR, it was, I love crabs after they tell the story. Hey, you have to help us out because you got crabs from that girl and we covered up for you. And then the next girl is, I love your dick, dude, Raza. It's just random punch up lines. Probably like a month before the movie came out, they went into a studio and added them. There's just so many random things. But the thing that's so dumb, they're running from the government. Why? It's funny. Harold's like so into it at the time because they took their pants off and they partied with all these girls.
Right.
It was awesome. 3 guys to 100 girl ratio. Love it. But the fact that he thought at first when he left, let's get into a yellow Mustang where, like, I don't know, like Saturday Night Fever clothes. And then while they're driving, then he realizes, like, why are we wearing this?
Well, and he's probably high, first of all. I mean, you know, true. I mean, if he's high all the time, but you're going to tell me he's not getting high when he's at that party, you know, no pants on and he's running around with all these girls. That's why they're probably dressed like that, because they were so wasted that they didn't realize what they were putting on.
I'm surprised they didn't have a quick getting high scene there. That's probably one of the few times that we've seen them in a spot that they didn't. Oh, I guess a few more than that they didn't get high, but most of the time they get high.
You know, I think because I don't think Harold got high. Like, I feel like he barely gets high this movie until the end. You know, so I think, you know, it's mostly Kumar, because it seems like Harold doesn't want to smoke. He doesn't want to do anything bad. He's just focused on his girl. So I don't think that would have worked.
No, that's true. So then this is the part you talked about before. So then we get the Secretary Fox and Ed Helms as a translator with both their parents. And again, I don't know the father. I almost know his name, Ed Wass.
You've seen him. He's in a ton of stuff.
He's in a ton of stuff. He was in a ton of stuff. But this scene's really funny. The fact that Ed Helms says something in the most racist Korean that I'm not even going to attempt.
So, okay. He's the translator. Okay. He's the translator, right? Okay.
For the government.
Well, I mean, there's a few very offensive things that are said in this scene. And I love the fact that they speak perfect English. Perfect. Like, there's no accent whatsoever. In fact, I think the mom has a Southern accent.
Yeah, she does. She does.
Which makes it even funnier, you know? But I mean, one of the things I am going to write down is, first of all, he goes, I don't understand them. It's some kind of dialect.
Yeah.
They're speaking perfect English. Like, what is he not hearing? I mean, I get the joke, but it's almost like too much of a joke. Cause he can't understand English. It's almost like the joke is, it's funny, but it doesn't fit. Like, I don't know. It was just weird.
Well, I thought it was really funny. The funniest part is not even just Ed Helms, was Rob Corddry. He's getting so frustrated. He couldn't understand these people.
So that's what I mean. Like they're not understanding the English that's coming out of that. It was just such an over the top joke.
Yeah.
That it's so ridiculous. And then I wrote it down. Fake Ching Chong language is what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not offensive. Oh. And then when there was it. No, that was another one. No, I forget what the other one was, but yeah.
No, it was so ridiculous. And the fact is, it's like Ed Helms, like, as we know him today, like the movies he was in, like some drama roles and stuff. It's so funny seeing him in a role. Again, he's in the movie for like 25 seconds, 30 seconds. And even when that guy that, like we said, we've seen a ton of things, Harold's dad, when he looks at him, he's like, "You're a fucking moron." And he looks at him, he goes, "I don't know, understand what you're saying."
It was funny. It was funny. Just, I didn't get it. And it was definitely offensive.
Yeah.
But
so then we get Harold and Kumar continuing their road trip, because they're on their way to Texas to get Colton, who works for the government. His dad went to school with George W. So they're going to go there at the wedding and try to ask, "Hey, can you help us out?" So then we get Kumar. This is what we kind of alluded to earlier. Yeah. He has a little bit of a flashback, nothing really to it. He's a nerd. He meets the girl, Vanessa. She goes, "Hey, to calm down, smoke a little weed," which again, I don't know if smoking a little bit of weed that fast, from what I read, is going to make you just make out the hottest girl.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Taxi. Do you remember when they showed how Jim became Jim? He ate a brownie and then all of a sudden so it was almost like that. Like, it's like, you know, that one little taste and all of a sudden, yeah, you know, it just transformed him.
That's great. Jim on Taxi. Oh my God.
And then even here, there was offensive. They were, as they were leaving, did you hear, I think it was one of the people in the library said, "Thank you, come again," in an Indian accent.
So you didn't see the first movie. There's like five or six callbacks from the first movie. In the first movie, there's this group of white, like extreme, like they talk like that. They're like really dudes, like, "Bro, do you want to jump off this mountain?" Like, that's like the way they talk, these white kids. They're super racist. And yeah, that was a callback later in the movie. Okay. There's another one, but that's what they said in a store. They said, "Thank you, come again." Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. Oh my God. Just the fact that changed him so much. And then, dude, this upcoming scene.
But we also saw Harold walk in, and he looked like goth Flock of Seagulls.
Yes, he did. I forgot what his shirt said, but it was something very emo, like that trend in like the late 90s.
I do like when they do that in movies and TV shows, when they just show how, you know, like what they used to look like they did in How I Met Your Mother, and how, like, just ridiculous, because they make it so over the top of how they used to look. You know, it makes it funny.
Oh man. So this next scene, not even what happens here. Like, there's some scenes that,
oh my goodness,
there's nothing really to them. So they are driving like Alabama because Kumar falls asleep and doesn't tell them the direction. So they don't want to interrupt a basketball game, which a bunch of, you know, black guys playing.
And again, they're in like a low income area.
Yeah.
Okay. This might be the most offensive scene.
Oh, it is. So the fact that they're both like scared to drive through again, middle of the night, whatever. They don't want to interrupt the game. The guys are playing. They're really not noticing the car, so they're not stopping. So maybe they're like, "Hey, why are we going to bug them?" So they go in reverse really quick. then they hit a freaking fire hydrant. Water stops the music from playing. They notice them. And I love jokes like this. The fact that they were scared and ran, and those guys were just coming over to help.
Well, first, this is definitely another M. Night Shyamalan twist, because first you see the water go into their sneakers.
Yeah.
So like they ruin their sneakers. And then wasn't there something else that
the boombox?
Oh, the boombox. Right. So now I totally thought they were going to go after them. And sure enough, they're like the nicest guys in the world. And they just wanted to go there to help. Like, that's such a good twist. Like, that's very funny. You know,
and I love that the guy, not even that the guy had a jack in his hand when he was walking over. Yeah. Another guy came over like he was on NASCAR rolling tires over, ready to help out. I love that. Those are like,
and again, yes, you know, it was a taste of a little offensiveness until Cordry gets there.
Oh.
I mean, I and again, I wonder if that was improv, what he does. you know, which, you know, a lot of comedians, you know, will say, you know, I guess, you know, but this, yeah, that scene was pretty.
So you're saying that he showed up to set with a can of grape soda in the car?
Well, maybe that's what he drinks. He just happened to have it.
The fact that he walks up and he looks pissed off, and as soon as he gets out, the main guy who was like the guy talking for all the black guys playing basketball is just on the cell phone, and Corchu pulls a gun on him, just starts yelling right away at him.
He's and he's like, the witness. That's the best part. Like, he's the witness trying to help them, and he pulls a gun at him and just gets there.
And then Beecher says, hey, he's our witness. He's like, how do you know? How can I trust him? He's like, he's an orthodontist. And he goes, where are Harold and Kumar? He goes, I don't know. They crashed the car and they ran off in that direction. He's like, what are you not telling me? And when he goes back to the car, this is, again, some more great ADR.
It is. And like, was that his way? It was almost like that was his torture. Like, he thought, like, what was doing was torturing them. Yes. And this guy who's a witness, first of all, he's a big guy. And he's taking it so calm. And he's like, you know, like, it was so funny how the way Cordry was doing it. Like, it was so ridiculous. Yeah.
Slowly pouring the grape soda when he opens it out. And I love the one ADR. He goes, yo, what the fuck? That's racist. And then another voice goes, hey, does he have any Kool-Aid?
Yeah, that was, you know, it was just funny the way they did it. It was offensive, but it was funny. It was just, you know, the way they did it.
And, you know, they're pouring it and then doing it a little faster.
It's teasing them. See, like, that's a joke that, like, in, like, I'm going to get you, sucker. You know, like, would have, like, they totally, like, the guy would have been shaking. Like, this is the complete opposite.
Yeah. So then again, Kumar, who's a guy that's super smart, that could be a doctor. Like, he could, his dad's a doctor, his brother's a doctor. He could be like in med school being a doctor. Now, what does he think to do? He's going to call friggin' David Krumholtz or Goldstein on the phone to tell him about what's going on when the government is looking for him. How dumb is
again,
he?
Harold? Yes. Well, he's probably high. Listen, that's the excuse you use throughout the whole movie. What?
So that's your correlation. Yeah, he did something done. He was probably high.
Well, you know what? Based on the way he acts the whole movie, he probably is.
Is this turning into like a PSA for anti-marijuana? Your kids, listen, if you
they show this in high school and show you what not to do.
This is a comedy film, kids. It's a goddamn documentary. Pay attention. Oh, I guess they couldn't show this in school. Well, I guess they could and just say, don't be Rob Corddry. Don't be Kumar. Don't be, you just go through the characters to who not to be in life.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you're not Kumar, then you don't go to a party with bottomless, you know, no pants on. You don't, you know, so I mean, and you don't like date a really hot girl. So it might backfire.
It could. All the kids will get stoned right away. But maybe it'll turn kids into non-racists by watching Rob Corddry. Or maybe it'll fuel their, I don't know. But so then we got John Reap.
Oh, you know what? He crushes this role. Oh. He was so funny. I mean, like, both of them, him and his wife, but like, he crushes it.
I love his wife. She's hilarious.
Oh yeah. She's in tons of stuff, but just his accent when he the way he plays that, this role, you almost feel like this is how he really is. You know, like, it's almost like he's playing, like, yeah, I mean, to an extent, like, he just, like, he seems like such a Southern guy, you know, and he just, like, he plays it so well.
What the hell y'all doing out here in them fancy clothes?
We were on our way to Texas, and we got lost.
Texas? You're a long way from Texas.
The fact that they're looking at the deer, and they make the comment, because these guys from Jersey, like, oh, the deer in Jersey are assholes. And then it just, the blood splatters all over them.
Well, no, they have a tender moment first. So, I mean, like, that makes, I wasn't sure what I was going to expect. I wasn't expecting that, what happens. But I mean, it was funny because they were like, all like, oh, look how sweet. Like, and they're like, you hear the music in the background. And like, they're like, it was almost like the first sentimental part of this movie. Like, it was like, you know, like really like the first time you see like a soft side to Harold and Kumar, you know, and then all of a sudden, blam, blood squirted all over the place.
There's like five different parts that make this thing funny, which I think that's why John Hurwitz did this movie and someone else. And I'm sure there's a ton of other people that had to do with it. But the fact that in this scene, when he stabs it with the knife and licks it and goes, born in 04. And what that's funny. And then you laugh even harder when the carcass that was like a dummy
with the feet hanging out.
Yeah. And then it turns into like a piece of rubber.
Yeah. The feet are bouncing around like in that bag.
That was hilarious that it went from like this big dummy that had like the fake blood and everything in it to this like rubber thing that he was shoving in the bag that was bouncing around. I love that.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was funny.
And you didn't see the first one, but no matter what, I have to send you this clip when we're done. But the first one movie has Christopher Maloney as a tow truck driver. It doesn't, you can't even tell it's him. He has so much makeup on in the scene, but same kind of thing. The house on the outside looks like complete shit. You go inside, spotless. I love that.
No, and their face when they walked in there, and then you see like the hot wife. Like, you know, you have this hillbilly, you know, and then you see this hot wife walk out and like, yeah, that was pretty funny.
So I have news for you. In the first one, it's, do you remember Malin Ackerman? Actress. She's in a ton of stuff. She was in, I forget the one. She's in The Heartbreak Kid with
Ben
Stiller.
She played his girlfriend. She played his girlfriend.
She plays the one he marries without barely knowing. Yeah. Okay. So she's in that movie. She plays Christopher Maloney's wife. They think they're going to have like a threesome with her in the scene.
So it's almost like a same running joke, kind of like, you know, like you have the
sort of, yeah. So that's why when they walk in, they see that they probably get some flashbacks because it's really nice in the other house too. And dude, this scene, they're getting ready to leave as they start fighting over the DSL internet because she wants to buy a satellite radio. Like, why do you need a satellite radio? What are you doing on the internet?
And like it comes out of nowhere, and like they have a screaming match. Like, you know, the whole fight was hysterical. And I almost, again, I feel like this part was like, could have been like improv too. Like they were just going back and forth, throwing crap at each other.
Hell yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's so hard to script those scenes. I'm sure. So they probably give them some basis, but dude, the way they were yelling at each other and they're like, yeah, we're going to go. And then, you know, John Reap, he goes, hey, I got some weed. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll hang out. So then they hang out for dinner, which is a very fancy dinner, very fancy plates. Everything's fine, right? And I love when they make the joke about, what do you think, we're some kind of dumb rednecks? We got an inbred son in the basement?
I thought they were going to turn out to be like murderers. Like I did not. Again, the one thing about this movie, there's a lot of twists that I didn't see coming. You know, they do a good job like that. Because I honestly thought it was going to be like a Texas Chainsaw. Like, they're going to, like, try to kill him. So that would have been funny, too. But this is definitely the angle that they go at with the inbred kid in the basement was pretty pretty nuts.
Yeah, just the fact that they thought the cops were there and it was just his neighbor. They go in the basement. The creature looks so good. And that's like CGI. Like, that looks amazing. It looks, the eye is just so freaky.
Well, you know what, and first of all, it doesn't speak, and then I did laugh at the next part. I had a feeling that wasn't happen when he's sleeping.
But even before that, when they come upstairs and you think, wouldn't you leave already? Wouldn't you leave that house? Like, after you find out that there's an inbred son, and I love when they're like, you met our inbred son in the basement. They're like, we thought you were kidding. And he's like, she just happens to be my sister and happened to be in love with her. And we had a kid. So sue us. And then I'm like, when they leave, now they sleep there. But before you mention what happens when they wake up, one of the funniest, most over the top scenes, because they do it in the first one. Again, the first one has a lot of these scenes, but in this one, they take it to another level. When Kumar's having the dream, Vanessa. See, you probably would laugh at this one if you saw the first one, because the first one's about a relationship with the bag of weed, and it's like really funny.
I didn't know for the first like couple of like seconds, I didn't know what that was. Like I didn't put two and two together because it was just weird. Like I was like, what is this thing that's like there? And see, okay, this part I hated because it was just so. I mean, like, the movie's stupid, but this took it to a whole different level. I couldn't laugh at it. It almost disgusted me. I mean, some of the things they were doing to this bag, I mean, towards the end of the scene was, I mean, it's just so stupid.
My mic stand on video, if you're listening, is in the way of it. But when, again, they're having all different types of sex, you know, the bag's going down on Vanessa when Kumar's behind the bag. But when they turn the bag over and there is actually an asshole, she starts fisting it.
It was like it's just so over the top. Like, it was so stupid. It really was. And like I said, when that bag of weed walks out, I had no idea what it was. Like, I couldn't, like, it didn't look like weed at first. It was just like a creature. Like, I was trying to figure out what the heck it was. But so stupid. It was so
my God.
Well, he has a similar dream in the first movie.
Well, in the first movie, they want weed in the whole movie because they want to go to White Castle, but they're looking for weed. But no, he doesn't have a similar dream. He has a dream that he's like having a relationship with it. So they show them like a montage scene of them.
Is it the same like bag of weed with arms and legs?
I don't know. I think it was like a little. Well, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't really.
Well, I mean, like, was it a joint or was it like? Did it look like?
No, this? It was a bag of weed. Yeah.
So it looked like this thing.
Come on, dude. Who has sex with a joint?
Oh, my, how stupid am I?
God, that's amazing. So then you mentioned the Harold, the waking up, and that was, I don't know what I do if I woke up next to anyone. If I woke up to anyone.
Anyone, but like the fact that the kid is staring at him, and like what I found was funny is he opens his eyes, and you know, when you wake up, you know, sometimes like, you know, you don't see clear, like, you know, you still have that sleepy in your eyes. He had that, you know, because he didn't scream right away. Like he opened his eyes and like then you can see his face right behind you. Like now he's like, he's really looking at what he's looking at. And that's when he screams. Like I thought it was very funny because you know, he's very straight faced throughout most of the movie, you know? So I think that like, and that picture nails it.
And he screams, but I swear, I don't know. I guess that must have been Harold's scream because I know that Cyrus didn't really talk, but there was like a dolphin screech. That's how like loud
there was a screech. Well, that's how he communicates.
That's how he communicates with the other inbred kids. I think it'd been cool if they took him along and like saved him because he was being put in the basement. You know, that's not cool.
You know what? You're right. That would, you know what? Maybe the movie would have been a little better.
Yeah. They would have taken him to the next part when they stumble upon KKK barbecue.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's like one thing after another in this movie. Like they're like, all right, we've hit a lot of areas. What can we do next for the next offensive scene? Like they're really like throughout the whole movie. It's pretty, you know, oh man. And but I'll tell you right now, I do love when they have the KKK in movies and they make fun of how stupid they are.
Yeah.
Because they do it all the time. You know, like Django Unchained. I mean, it was a hysterical scene. Like, so like they made him look so stupid in this movie. So I do like that, you know?
Yeah. No, these are my favorite types of movies that move from scene to scene. Cause you have an opportunity. Like I love road trip type of movies. Cause you have those opportunities to have like a Christopher Maloney play the Grand Wizard of the KKK. Like and the fact that he says the N word is like,
I know that I'm surprised that they did that, but yeah, I mean, you know, again, they do make it the fact that the Grand Master has Tourette's, right? I mean, you know, like they make them like, they really make them look so stupid in movies, which if you're going to bring them up, at least, you know, make them look as crappy as possible. And then I think that's what they do in movies. Yeah. I mean, remember Django Unchained, what's his name? Who's the fat comedian? He's in. You ever see Django?
I've seen it. Yeah, I'm trying to think who you're talking
about. Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill's in there. You know, he's one. His wife. I think it was his wife that forgot to like sew eyes. You know, like again, they make them so stupid. So I mean, if you're gonna bring offensive like that, I think it's good to have like the guy had Tourette's. Like, you know, just make him so stupid.
Yeah, but just the fact that Christopher Maloney says that, and he's been on SVU up to this point for like 8 or 9 years, like a big time network show. And the fact that he says that line, and it's not even fitting in the sentence. It's like using that the N word in the wrongest sense. And I'm but
I know.
So the scene coming up. So
oh my goodness,
Kumar and Harold, they're hiding because they see the two Klansmen. The fact that they hide under the tree trunk where this guy's pissing is just.
Yeah, but you see that a lot in movies. I mean, it's almost like every time you know that someone hide, you know they're going to be doing something like that. I thought the guy was going to be taking a crap. So, based on a movie like this, I'm surprised they didn't go that angle.
Yeah, if they're gonna fist a bag of weed, you know, why not just keep with the butt theme and do pooping? Yeah. No, I know. But I love that they do go into the Klan's out. Oh, kind of remember Fletch Lives. How dumb were they?
Fletch Lives and how about Blazing Saddles?
Yeah. I was just trying to think in my head. I'm like, we just did a movie with the KKK, and then Fletch Lives when he was making fun of.
Wasn't it Blazing Saddles when he puts his arm out? It's like black because Cleavon Little had the.
Oh yeah. But no, so I love that Harold and Kumar knocked the two guys out. They get into the office, and again. Maybe they got some research. If this is something that the Klansmen do at their meetings when they're just drinking, I love that Kumar is really excited because he loves the onions on the hot dogs. And then they all gather around and the Grand Wizard says, so tell me something you did to a minority this week. Like what?
I know. It's like I said, I mean, like they, I feel like they were trying to push the buttons as far as they can go throughout the whole movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you're right. I mean, they do make fun of everybody, you know, I mean, so like, you know, like I like that. I mean, you know, I don't like a movie that's going to make fun of one stereotype, you know, Blazing Saddles makes fun of every stereotype. So does this movie. Cause coming up is one of my favorite scenes. But we'll get there. But,
oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. So then Harold goes first. He says, I need an Indian guy in the balls. They're like, yeah, I like that. And then Kumar's is like really detailed. He uses a guy's toothbrush to rub on his pubes. And Maloney's like, that's weird, but I like it.
Wait, that was Maloney?
Yeah, Maloney's the Grand Wizard. That's what I just talked about. SVU.
Oh, I see. You know what? I thought he was in the first movie as the tow truck driver.
No, he's in all the movies.
That's what I'm saying. So like, I wasn't thinking that. Like, oh, you don't even recognize him as the Grand Wizard. Oh, that's awesome. Okay,
and he looks more like himself in this movie. I know it's still hard to tell, but in the other movie, you can't tell. Fake nose, fake. Right. He has like pussy things coming out of his neck. Yeah, I'll send that scene. You got to check it out. But yeah, so then. So then they start, then they have to run because the two guys that were, knocked out, woke up and then pulled the masks off. And I love Maloney when they're all running and they're running after them. Like they don't know how to run. They're almost running in circles and Maloney lights himself on fire.
Again, they always make fun of them. And, you know, that scene of them coming, like you see that how many times that the ones that get knocked down and steal their sheets are the ones that come back later on, like in their underwear. And like, you know, they just they had no shirts on. Like, so when they're out, right. Those guys came back with no shirts on.
No shirts. Yeah.
So they're naked under the sheets.
Oh yeah. <yes. laughs>
Like I would think that sheets would go over clothes. I didn't think they would be totally naked under the sheets.
Oh yeah. How do you go home?
Yeah. They drive naked or
would the cops, like, if you get pulled over, it's like, oh shit, they're not worried about like the beer they drank or anything. It's like, you know why I pulled you over? I don't know, officer. Well, you're naked and you got a sheet hanging out the back of your truck. It's like, damn it.
Larger day.
But, so this year, the next scene's your favorite?
I do laugh. I did laugh at this part. I mean,
he's great.
Not the whole thing. Definitely the last scene, the last part of it. But first of all, the names. I mean, I was dying. Goldstein and Rosenberg.
Oh, you're talking about that one. Okay, we'll do that.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, we're right around that part. No, let's talk about that one. Yeah. So it's Goldstein, David Krumholtz, I think he's from Jersey. And Shipwreck from American Pie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I again, and you have Cordry in there. I mean, he's an animal. But, like, the fact that he brings out change.
What did you think he was going to do? Because you saw him, like, around him trying to get, like, the true answers for everything.
Well, doesn't he throw something again against the wall? He threw a glass, I think. I think, or something.
He threw a glass
against the wall again because he's so angry all the time. But yeah, I wasn't sure where this is going. I didn't expect it to be change in there. And yeah. I honestly thought it'd be pennies. That would have been made it worse, maybe. But it was a bunch of it was all a bunch of different change. But yeah, I wasn't sure where it was going. I didn't expect it to go where it did.
Well, that was funny like that, but then the end of it was even funnier when they walked out of the room and really quick they were grabbing all the change. That's like funny, man. How about when Cordry demands Dr. Beecher, go get me the Bill of Rights, because they said they wanted to plead the fifth, and he gets it, he rips out the page, he sticks it up his ass, wipes his ass, and poop is on it.
And then one guy goes, why is your ass so dirty?
And he stares him in the eyes and he goes, you don't want to know. What does that mean? Do you have like a disorder or I don't know. Well, is that frightening to someone? That's a good line. I guess if anyone says something to you, you could use that line back and it could really mess
up. Yeah, but isn't that like almost insulting yourself?
Yes.
like you don't want to know. I have IBS. All right.
But you can try that in any line. If somebody like approaches you, like some stranger, you'd say, you don't want to know. Try it sometimes. You know?
I will. Although I don't know if I'm going to use the crap on the piece of paper, you know, beforehand, you know, but I will.
So then just before this or right after it, it's again, perfect timing. They walk out of the woods and look who comes strolling along, NPH, Neil Patrick Harris. What he has done in these movies is unbelievable.
Just in comedy in general, what he's done. Like, I mean, like he's great. And like, you know, coming from Doogie Howser to what he does now, like you would never expect him to be as funny as he is. And he steals, like to me, how you met your mother. He steals every scene.
Yeah.
Like he's the best part. Same here. I mean, he to me was, Cordry was awesome, but I like Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, yeah,
and
you know,
in the first movie, that role was probably so shocking for him to play that. Cause I think the first movie is what helped him land How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, really?
Timing wise, I think so.
Oh, so like that was his first like into like a comedy kind of, I'd be
in
curious.
That type, I think, yeah. Wow. Because you had to think the only movie after like Doogie Howser, only movie I can remember was Starship Troopers. And I'm sure he was in a ton of stuff, but I don't know if he had any series that let him play this over the top sex maniac.
Yeah. You know what? I would be curious to look at it because I mean if this started, that's awesome because like he plays the role so good. You know, he really does.
Yeah, because when you watch that first one, it, like now if you watch it, you're like, oh, that's the role that he plays. But then it was weird because yeah, because you're like, oh, that's Neil Patrick Harris. But this movie made him NPH.
Right. Was he? Was it a big role in the first one? Like, was it a big?
Oh, yeah, he steals their car.
Okay.
Yeah, they pick him up. And when they go inside like a gas station, he steals their car. And then he returns it at the end of the movie and pays for the White Castle.
Now, there's a third movie after this one?
Yeah, it's really good. A Christmas one in 3D. Tom Lennon's in it. It was another really funny guy.
Is Neil Patrick Harris in it?
He is in it, I think. I haven't seen it in a while, but great person in it who plays Maria's dad, Danny Trejo.
Oh.
Danny Trejo is the father-in-law.
Oh, great, my goodness.
Yeah. So MPH is so fucked up in this scene. And I love when he talks about love because they're in the backseat. They're talking about the girls they love. And he goes, I was in love with Tashonda. And who was the stand-in for Whoopi Goldberg?
So random.
Hershey kiss nipples.
He's so bizarre. Like, I mean, just his personality in this movie is so bizarre that I mean, just like the things he comes up with. Like, again, I wonder if he's improvising a lot of the stuff. Like, how do you come up with the Hershey kiss nipples? And like, it just so funny.
And this is my favorite type of, like, I love so many movies, you know, like I'm one of those people. I love probably way too many movies, but I love comedy that the joke just keeps going up. And then at the end, it's like the funniest line, because at the end of it, the last line, that's almost like that could have maybe been improv, like almost as a throwaway line. He goes, man, I hope she kept the baby. Oh my God. And I was hoping the end of the movie, Tashonda was going to be in it. I've seen this movie a bunch, but for some reason in my head, I was like, that'd be a great thing that Tashonda's somewhere.
Well, why? Based on the ending, I mean, you know, kind of be stupid.
Well, no, I know. Oh, no, I know that. I was just thinking, like, maybe she can save him. But, dude, this scene, they set up the roadblock. Again, he's eating mushrooms. Like, dude, I can tell you, I ate mushrooms one time. I got into my car, and I thought about even – I didn't even put the keys even near the ignition, and I was, like, freaked out. The fact that he ate that many while driving –
Well, first of all, he wasn't paying attention to the road the entire time anyway. So, you know, I mean, maybe the mushrooms made him drive better, because because they were worried about him not looking. And he was having full conversations. He was smoking with them. Like, he was not even looking at the road the whole time he was driving. But his face here, though, when Cordry is like talking to him, I think he did such a great job of the scene. Like, because and, you know, when he sees the unicorn, he wants to go so bad, but he's trying to fight it. And like, he does such a good job in a scene.
And just Cordry just telling him, like, you're the reason. So his role, Neil Patrick Harris in Starship Troopers, is the reason that this racist asshole, you know, became a Secretary Fox. The fact that he goes, that role changed my life. And you're right. When he's looking off past him at himself on a unicorn is just...
And you can see him sweating. You can see him sweating. And, like, you know, he's really trying to, like, get out of there as fast as possible. And he does such a good job with it, you know. And then I thought he was going to open the door and go with the unicorn. I thought so.
Even though I've seen it so much, I'm like, is he going to get out and run or chase it?
Well, at one point when himself and the unicorn stop, and he turns around and he waves to him to come to him, I thought he was going to open the door. I thought that was it. So I give him credit for fighting it.
I do too. And then Cordry, when he's like, I gotta go, and Rob Cordry is like, oh, I understand, MPH, thank you. And he's just like, the first time we've ever seen him in this movie kind of like not be crazy.
Yeah
he was a fan.
He seemed a little bit more than a fan.
Oh, too obsessive.
You know, he might have had a cock meat sandwich thinking about it.
Hey, you know, guys, I gotta go take a flight to Guantanamo and do some research. Is Big Bob available? So then we get him saying, I gotta go to the strip club, or I gotta go to this whorehouse.
Well, yeah, well, they wanted to just go straight to the wedding or the guy's house. And he says, no, we gotta make a detour first.
And it seems like they're very close from the way they say it.
Yep, yep.
They're like, oh, but MPH, we're so close. And he's like, I got to go to this whorehouse. And the perfect song. There's like some songs that are like perfect for like the strip club kind of vibe, but like Nothing But a Good Time, Poison. Perfect song.
Yep.
Walk in, and all the girls lined up.
Another great cameo, by the way. Ugh. I love her. I mean, she's awesome.
One of the first pair of boobs I've seen as a kid.
Oh,
that hers and In Stripes.
You know, it's funny. I think Stripes was the first, that, and I think Revenge of the Nerds for me. But I saw a little bit more than boobs in that one.
Stripes, just John Larroquette peeping.
Oh. But yeah, Beverly D'Angelo. I mean, she's so good. She's born for a role like this. Just, you know, that, awesome. Yeah.
She's really good in everything. Even when she was on Entourage for like that 1 year.
Oh yeah.
Or 2 years. She was awesome.
Absolutely.
And her in this role, just amazing. The fact that she has to warn him, because the last time there, he bit a stripper.
He's an animal. Like, they this whole scene, I mean, even at the end of it, he's an animal. He's like a complete, like, he's like a child in a candy store, you know, here. Like, he really is.
Well, just foreshadowing, we won't mention, don't answer what could be, but was he carrying a bag when he walked in there? Was he carrying anything? It was just him, right?
I think so. Yeah. Why?
Okay. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. And I got to be honest with you, he had a choice of a lot of women. I wouldn't have picked the one he picked.
Yeah, and her name, her real porn name is Echo Valley, but her name in the movie wasn't anything.
No, it was Tits Hemingway.
Tits Hemingway, yeah. That's pretty funny. And then we get Kumar indulges. He picks two girls, and his, you're like, Kumar's going to get it on. The girl's like, what do you want us to do? And he's like, take off your tops and make out. And we see boobs. They start doing it. And then we cut to Harold pouring his heart out to all these hookers that
are listening to him.
And yeah. And giving him some advice too.
Well, you know, again, he's so straight laced and like, he's just like having a casual conversation with them. Like, again, you see that a lot in movies. Like also, you know, you have like the one guy that's like, you know, like just having a normal conversation, like they're not hookers or anything. And they were like, and they're like intelligent and they're all like, you know, they see that all the time. And then what happens with Kumar? See, he's all talk, I think.
He's pouring it out right when he's, yeah. I love just that Harold sets up the joke. He's probably in there having the time of his life. And then he's in there like sad with the two naked girls on either side.
And he's bawling. He's bawling.
So here's why I asked you this question earlier, because the fact that you hear screaming and Tits Hemingway comes out and she goes, he branded me. He fucking branded me. And he's holding a brand for like a horse. Where'd that come from?
Well, it's a whorehouse. Don't they have props?
I don't know if they have that. Why would Beverly D'Angelo be so pissed that he branded someone? Is that something that
maybe he didn't pay extra for it? You got to pay extra for it. It's like going to the, you know, hotel room and you open the refrigerator, you know, just because the alcohol is there, it doesn't mean you can drink it for free.
As soon as you take the brand off the hook, you get charged $500.
I just like the fact that he branded her. Like, I mean, like of all things to do, he's such an animal. Like he really is.
Oh my God. And then they run and they're like, kind of, because he screwed them in the first movie by stealing their car. Hal was like, I'm not getting shot. So then as soon as they get out of there, they get into the car and you see him.
Well, she wasn't shooting at this point, right?
Well, so, she wasn't, but she was like getting the gun while they're walking out. Right. And the fact that MPH should know that he should be running, he's casually putting his shirt back on.
He's so like the way he was doing that, I was dying. Because it's like another Saturday night for him. Like really, that's what it is. And he's just like, he's so like, so not how you would think he is in real life. And I think that's what it is. He's so over the top that it's hysterical. I think it's great.
And he gets his back blown out by a shotgun.
See, I would love to see a movie around his character.
Oh.
I think that would be a funny movie.
An MPH movie.
I'm all for it.
No, he's great. Honestly, he's great. You got to see the first one, like, because it's so fun. It's so weird to like.
I know.
Say watch it because you can't watch it without knowing who he became and like how he met your mother. But like, I have to look at the timeline of that. But I feel like How I Met Your Mother did not come out yet.
So you know, it would be interesting to see if that is if true that this was out before that show. To see how like his first time doing that character, because it really is the same character in the show that he's in his movie.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious maybe to fast forward the whole movie until I see him.
No, you'd like that. You'd like it. So then they go into Neil's car and they start going through his bag. He has a creepy mask, which is the mask of one of the guys in Slipknot, which maybe the singer or like the prop guy was a fan of them. Because the fact that it was like the exact mask,
right.
A jar with hair in it. Which fits him. It's not like weird because why wouldn't he? But why would he have 12 cans of mace?
Again, this is he branded someone. So, I mean, like, I don't think there's anything in that bag that he could have pulled out that would be a shock. Like, really, They could have pulled anything out, and I would have been like, you know, it fits his character. So, you know, really, I mean, yeah, he's such an animal. Like, I'm not, to me, Mace is like tame. I expected much worse to come out of there. I was like a gimp outfit or something, you know.
Well, I guess that's sort of what the mask was for.
Well, I guess that would be better than a gimp mask. Yeah, it would be.
So then they finally get to Colton's house, and he sees Vanessa. We see a scene before that's kind of like, so some of the scenes, again, I know that you have to tell like the Colton and Vanessa that they don't really vibe with each other. There's just a few scenes we didn't talk about, but just them not getting along. Colton's planning the whole wedding and everything. Right. And,
but you know what though? It's funny, on my notes at the top, I wrote down Colton's a nice guy.
Colton's real swell.
I wrote that down. I'm like, you know, so yeah, I mean, I was totally fooled.
You know what? Maybe you hate Kumar because you're watching this movie. You're like, hey, Kumar, hands off, buddy. Vanessa really didn't hurt her ankle that bad. Get your hands off of her.
You know what? Let me tell you something. She was pissed that the wedding was ruined at first. So, you know, I mean, not for nothing. She could have lived a life of a millionaire. Instead, she's with a guy that just smokes weed all day long. So he kind of ruined her life. So I'm for team Colton.
Team Colton. They should have you speak at the elementary school for the DARE program. You can either marry a millionaire that sells his friends up the river.
Well, wait a second. We find out they're not really friends.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, so, you know, it's different.
So then we find out again. Colton goes, guys, don't worry. My dad talked to W. He's going to help you out. Let's go to the airport. And again, this is where he kind of becomes douchey, because when they get there, he's like, whoa, are all these planes yours? He goes, no, of course they are. Who else would they be? I'm like, all right. And then boom, dude, the fact again, Cordry turn it up a notch. He puts the gun to the back of Kumar's head.
He was very intense in this scene.
Cordry.
Like, yeah. Like, it was almost like this could have been like an action movie where they finally got the guy he was going after, because he took it like very serious.
But then he was very serious. But then after this point, he was like, fuck it, we got him, we're good. Because when they go on the airplane, I don't know if this was like supposed to be like a life-changing, in his eyes, he was saving the world. So why would he just... These guys already escaped from Guantanamo. In his eyes, they escaped. Like, they were the reason they escaped. No other BS.
Right.
And he sits down, pops on Danger Zone, and just eats Whoppers looking forward.
Because he got his man, and he feels like a badass. I mean, there's no other... If you feel like a badass, what better song to put on but Danger Zone? Well, so, right now, he's feeling himself. He's feeling like, listen, I'm the captain of the day. I got the two bad guys. I did my job. I'm the man. I'm going to listen to Danger Zone.
But wouldn't Danger Zone mean that something bad's going to happen because you're in the Danger Zone?
Well, in the movie Top Gun, they're playing it for everything that's going on in the sky in the beginning when Tom Cruise is like crushing everybody. So it's more of a pumped up song. Do you have another song?
Yeah, let's hear it for the boy. Let's hear it for the boy.
Now that would have been funnier. That would have been fun. That would have been, if he's rocking out to that, that would have been good. See?
But no, just this whole scene. You have these two guys that, again, high level government agents that are helping out getting these two terrorists. And they overhear them, you know, Hal and Kumar arguing. And the guy goes, wait, did you say you had weed on you? And then the fact that Harold, Felix Unger of the two, has Mace, and Mace is the friggin' agent in the face.
Neil Patrick Harris, he had it in the bag.
Yeah, and he said he took it. Why not? That's what he said.
But it also, wasn't there a scene where he says, you're not going to do that kung fu or something? Oh, no, was that the end of the movie? Or is that... Someone said that. Like, you're not going to...
Colton said that when they were... Oh, yeah, dude. So when they were going on the airplane, and he's like, I'm going to kick your ass the next time I see you, Colton. He goes, you're not even a kung fu agent. Yeah, you're a nerdy accountant agent.
Like, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn. But dude, the fact that he maces him, a little fight scene happens, but man, Cordry, the only reason he stopped rocking out to the song is because he ran out of water. And he's just like eating Whoppers, one of the most loudest friggin' snacks.
Well, I mean, Whoppers make you thirsty.
Is that a fact?
I don't know. I haven't had a Whopper in years, but, you know, I'm assuming.
But the fact that he turns around, he sees them two putting on like the parachutes and he's getting ready.
No, parachute. There was only one.
Oh, yeah, there was only one. Yeah. And look, and who saves the day? Dr. Beecher.
Well, why is there only one parachute?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, on that plane, you had, what, 6 or 7 people?
Yeah.
So why is there only one parachute?
That's so stupid. I know. They should be one for each seat, right?
You would
why would they leave somebody out? If that plane's going down, they're like, okay, guys, plane's going down, but we got to draw straws. Does anybody have straws? Okay. Rock, paper,
or maybe scissors. Each flight is like, everybody has like a number and, you know, maybe the one seat that doesn't have a number is, or, you know, or the one seat that has a number gets the parachute.
Yeah. Yeah. They do like a little bingo thing. If they pull your number, you don't get the parachute.
It's like Russian roulette for like, you know, flying.
Everyone has one except one is just like a nothing. It's like a wacky inflatable R flaily two man flies out of the top of it. Just like does nothing. But so Dr. Beecher comes out of nowhere. I didn't even know he was on the plane. We saw him at the airport.
Yeah, where was he the whole time the fight was going on?
I guess he was in the cockpit, maybe.
Maybe he was sleeping?
Maybe he was napping, yeah. But he comes out, puts the gun on Cordry. Cordry, I think that's when he drops the Whoppers. And then you think, yes. Dr. Beecher's like, these kids did nothing. And
he laughed at this part.
Dude, when he takes a step, death by Whopper, and he flies forward and grabs the handle and gets sucked out.
And it was so out of the blue. Like I thought like the movie's almost over. He's, you know, he saves the day. And like within seconds of like saying his little speech, it's sucked out. It's almost like an airplane. Like, you know, you know, there's a lot of like, you can see a lot of like jokes from these like spoofy kind of movies, you know, they're recycling. So, you know, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Great. Like paying like the homage in like these movies. Cause again, yeah. Once a joke's done, it's so hard to like reinvent.
Right.
But no, I do like a lot of those little like gags like that. Like I thought that was so funny when he flew out.
Yep.
And then they jump out of the airplane right afterwards. They get sucked out.
And now this gets stupid again. So this is like, it's just, you know, swim to me. He tells him, you know, the whole point of them flying down and like, it was almost too long.
You didn't like Cordry flying in the air? No parachute, just ready.
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
But he went out with a bang, man.
He did. No, he did.
And then they just happened to fall right into the house of George W. Again, obviously, what are the chances? Like, that's not going to happen. But could you imagine waking up in some, not like you had like a, maybe you had a blackout drunk night and you woke up in some house and you looked and you saw like the pictures and you saw like George W. or it's like Cher. Could you imagine like that feeling? Like
I definitely did not expect him. Now this part I think is funny. However, I don't think the George W. guy was that good.
Like, oh, they no. could've done- So I know what you mean. He's not good in the sense of the, like the Will Ferrell over the top version of him, but he's great because he does it like W. Like he is a caricature of him, the way he says the words, but he looks like him. He's the guy that was on That's My Bush, that Comedy Central show.
I was going to say he doesn't look like him. And I think he sounded better. I think he sounded better. Like, you know, he sounded good like him, but like, I don't know. I just feel like other people have done it so well that I felt like this guy, they could have had a better guy.
I wasn't buying it.
I
think even around, I think it was before this, he was on the show That's My Bush on Comedy Central. Yeah. Karl Rove is played by, or Dick Cheney is played by friggin' the nut job guy in No Holds Barred. I can't think of his name right now. Pete or something. That over-the-top actor.
I thought you were going to say Tiny Lister.
No. The guy that runs the station. The guy that owns the,
Yeah, I know.
But no, so this guy, now I like the way he does the words in this movie, like his voice of.
Right. I like that better, but yeah. That was funny. I mean, listen, it goes with the whole theme of everything that's going on, you know? So, I mean, like it had to be him, you know, that they felt in the house, you know, it was perfect.
Dick Cheney's looking for him. He's like, oh guys, come on, let's go. Let's go to my man cave. And I love that. He's like, Mishibishiwa. He's even some racist lines.
Yeah. I was laughing. I mean, again, it's, you know, I do feel like they definitely pick on Asian more than the other types in this whole movie, though, you know. But yeah, I mean, it, just the little subtitles. I mean, I thought it was funny. I thought it was good.
How funny was when he talked about, like, you smoke weed? Dude, you put people that smoke weed in hypocritical.
This comparison is great. But it makes sense, though.
Hey, Kumar, you like getting hand jobs? Yeah. You like giving hand jobs? No. You're fucking hypocritical too. I love that. That was so good.
Oh, it makes sense.
I love when they get so high. I think there's a scene that they cut to, maybe like the wedding or something that they cut back, but they're getting so high and they start talking about like their dads and Kumar opens up at his dad. Maybe I should go to med school. And I love when W is like, yeah, you know, like my dad, and he like goes through this whole thing. And I think there's another cutaway. They cut back. He's on the phone with his dad. He goes, hey, dad, it's W. Yeah. I don't want to listen to your friends anymore. I'm not going to. That's the screenshot I got when he gets off the phone. And he's just like, boom. I love that.
No, that was very funny.
And then we're at the end of the movie. So they have the wedding going on when Colton, at this point, now you don't like him, but when he brags to his best man, I lit a lot of these candles.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing I didn't understand about him. Like, he's like, before you know about him, like, he seems like a cool guy, smart, he got the girl, but he's very into his feminine side.
Yeah, he's just very, no, he's a control freak.
Yeah, he is.
Everything has to control.
But he's, I mean, not, most guys don't plan the whole wedding, you know, even though he's a control freak. I think there's a feminine side to him that's, you know, but he's not afraid to share.
Maybe he could have been in love with Cordry.
Maybe. That's, how do you think he got the job?
His dad. No, he had the job because his dad.
Well, that's what he tells her. That's what he tells everybody. And yeah, we never saw his dad.
Cover up. Damn cover it. So then they go to the, you know, the quick ending to pretty much a quick ending, like the wedding scene.
Well, yes. I mean, but I want to talk that Colton goes out there and Harold knocks him out. Colton's out the entire time. He got punched once. Like, he acted like a big tough guy and Harold knocked him out and he was out. He's laying on the ground while all this is going on.
He's got a weak jaw, man.
Okay.
All right. Ready, boy.
Yeah.
No, I do like when the Secret Service, when he says to W, can you do me a favor, not only help you out? And
one more favor.
I can pardon whoever. I can pardon anybody. And then when the Secret Service shows up, and again, I've seen this movie a lot, but I thought W was going to walk in first. Yeah. And it's Harold and Kumar. Colton freaks out, tells what's really happened. Vanessa gets upset. Like you said, Harold knocks him out real quick. But the end of the movie, he uses this poem to get the girl, the square root of three.
I think that was a pretty cool poem.
It was really cool. Yeah. The fact that he was nervous
I mean, I know he was embarrassed and nervous about it, but everybody seemed touched by it.
Yeah. Except Colton's buddy. And didn't he say, like, wow, that's really queer.
That is very, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, I thought it was very creative, and I think a lot of girls would laugh at it, like meaning, like, you know, I think they would get a kick out of it. So, but she, it seemed to work for her because I didn't think he was going to do that because he said, what if I do something embarrassing, more embarrassing? I thought he was going to take his like pants down or something like that, like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like just the way he was. I didn't expect the poem.
But then, you know, when she said, I don't think you could do that, then you knew like there was something, and I remembered the poem and he started it. But so if you were at this wedding, okay, you buy, nowadays people only bring money,
right?
The old school weddings, like toaster and all this stuff.
Right.
Would you grab your toaster on the way out? What are they going to do? Split it in half?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. Like, you know, when a wedding like this breaks up before, like, well, first of all, the gifts aren't given because they're at the church. So you didn't hand anything in.
Good. So you got a new toast?
Well, it's like going to an engagement party and then they don't end up getting married.
Oh,
I've happened to me. I mean, I went to an engagement party and then ended up, they didn't get married and they kept all the gifts.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Did you get him anything good?
No. Dude, I had someone come to my wedding, a high school friend, and he brought a candle. Like a ceramic candle with no oil, no, and just a candle, like the cheapest thing. And I think it was like a re-gift. That's what I got from him.
But you know what? You remembered it. So
I did.
I'm sure there's other gifts that you got that were really nice, and you couldn't even remember who got them, but you'll always remember that candle.
Well, he's the same guy that went to my my son's baptism party, and he ordered a meal at the restaurant and then left. I took the meal with him. Like he didn't even sit down. He just ordered the meal and left with the meal. Who does that? So that was the last time I spoke to him.
That was the final straw, not the candle.
That was the final straw.
Maybe he was like writing a book about what I can do to get a person to not
have
like
Jamie me. Stop talking to me. He goes, "What can I do to have Jamie stop talking to me?"
God, that's amazing. So yeah, so that's the end. Well, not the end of the movie yet. Then they go to Amsterdam. They find Maria. Whatever. The thing that was most funny about the final scene was, and I should have put that up behind me on video, but the sketch of Maria that he was walking around with was horrible. Who would have recognized her?
Well, not only that, he had no clue where she was, right?
No clue at all.
So he went to another country and just thought he was going to find her?
He went to Amsterdam and just thought he can go to any hotel. He didn't even know
that someone's gonna know her. He's gonna happen to know her.
Yeah, and who does a photo shoot in an open window? That's terrible lighting that somebody else could see that. But it was kind of
I've never been to Amsterdam, but do they also like really have women who like topless in the window?
Yeah, that's the red light district.
Oh, you've been there before? Amsterdam?
No, I haven't, but I want to.
Oh, okay.
No, Euro trip, they go to that, and I hate early in this movie. I wrote it down, but it skipped over it. They throw a dig at Euro trip. They were like, going to Europe, but it'll be a lot better than Euro trip. I like
Europe. Yeah. I did. So did I. So they walk by the red light district. The girls pulled them away, but the girls ended up going in there. And she came out like she was holding her crotch when she came out.
Well,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch the next? Did you keep watching them?
You mean the end credits?
Did you see the one when they were the two girls?
Oh, I did laugh. Wait, with the masks?
Yes.
I was laughing at that. I think that was a creative joke. I think that was pretty funny. That was very funny. Have you ever done it before?
What, worn a mask in a store and what, groped a random woman? No, I haven't done
that. No, I thought you were talking about the end credits. You know, it was the end credits, right?
Oh, I didn't watch. There was one afterwards?
You didn't know that?
No, I watched. Really, tell me.
It's Neil Patrick Harris. Does he move? He moves or something? Like it was something like it was. He's laying on the ground and like I think he moves or he lifts his head or something, and then it moves over. That's why I asked if he's in the third movie because
I feel like he is. Yeah,
he has to be because he's still alive in this one.
He's got to be in it. That's awesome, man. So yeah, so that was Harold and Kumar. Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Jamie, I know you said in the beginning, but it sounds like you enjoyed more than you didn't.
You know, listen, I mean, yes, like I said, the cameos are great. My problem is with the two leads. They're just not likable. And I think that, again, you throw Ryan Reynolds into one part, it's a much different movie. Like, I don't buy the fact that they look the way they do and they're playing the part they are. You know, I'm sure that you could find another funny Asian guy. I don't feel John Cho is a great actor. You know, I don't think he's that funny. You know, he's a one-hit wonder in American Pie. MILF. That's it. You know, so for them to do a spinoff on that character, basically, is kind of stupid. However, I think the cameos are enough to have someone watch the movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that, you know, but I also think, again, if I don't smoke weed. So, you know, maybe if you're, you know, if you're high watching this movie, if you're younger, you know, you may like it more. But at my age, not smoking weed and dealing with these two guys, you know, the movie wasn't for me. There's better stoner movies.
Yeah, no, there's definitely better stuff. For me, I love these kind of movies. I love these two guys. I like the first movie. But even if take away them, Rob Corddry alone is just so insane. Like, he is in everything. Like, we talked about it earlier. Him and Leonardo DiCaprio, same level, on the podium, same guy. No, just what he does is just, I think it's quite fascinating to have an actor, like, never flop in a movie. Like, what happens in Vegas? Like, even in my head, thinking about even the movies that he has smaller roles.
Hot Tub
Time Machine.
He crushed them.
He's in The Heartbreak Kid, too. He has a very small role in the beginning of Heartbreak Kid. Great.
Yeah. Well, but again, I also have a problem with the title of the movie. The movie, I mean, like, it makes no sense. Like,
I think it's a joke within itself. So. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I don't think that they're that creative. That it's like a joke on us, you know, kind of thing.
What do you think the movie could have been called? Like, just based on the entire movie, it's so hard because they don't go to Amsterdam. You could call. What if they called it "Go to Amsterdam"? You wouldn't like that.
Oh, it would be the same concept. They're there for 5 minutes.
How Kumar 2, We Ruined a Wedding.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think you could have come up with a better title, or have them in prison a little longer, because there's a lot of funny things that can happen in prison. Like, you know, like, I think it would have been a funnier, you know, concept if they were in prison at least a little longer. I mean, literally, I don't think they was there more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, they could have, like, cock meat lasagna, cock meat casserole, so many different ways to have cock meat. But if you listening think that there's a title, tweet at us, Instagram at us, at Sequels Only. So that was Harold and Kumar 2. Now we're back in horror, because it's so funny. When we started the pandemic last year, there was so many interviews that people, luckily for us, like, people said yes. And it was so cool. I remember at one point, like, two or three a week, and we only put out a couple episodes a month. So obviously some take a while, but man, I'm so happy for this one. The movie itself, I've never seen until I was getting ready for the interview. And man, I was lucky enough. Jamie got me the chance to interview actor Robert Schaefer, who most fans know from The Office at Bob Vance. And dude, what a really amazing guy. When I looked at his IMDb, when you said, hey, he'll do this, only sequel was Psycho Cop 2. And man, bonkers of a movie, some amazing one-liners. He talked about landing that role. He talked about a potential Psycho Cop 3. Spoiler, he actually rapped. He did a freestyle rap for me.
Oh my goodness.
It's insane. He talked about The Office, some conversations he had with Steve Carell on the show. And he had a new movie that I watched that he let me screen for him, Dixter, which is really funny. And yeah, you're going to like that. He was so funny.
And I've never seen a Psycho Cop movie. So this is like a new thing for me.
Oh, dude. The great one-liners. Every kill, one-liner.
Is it a comedy action? Like horror?
Sort of. It's over the top. It's like so campy. But yeah, so Rob Schaefer, Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration, you're going to love them. So don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.